else is Deo Gloria, in excelsis Deo. Come to Bethlehem and see Him whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn King. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. See Him in a manger laid, Jesus, Lord of heaven and earth. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, with us sing our Savior's birth. Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo.
Well, I hope you've enjoyed the cool weather. First time you probably had to pull a jacket out this week. But still praying for a white Christmas. I don't know if it's going to happen, but still praying. We had some kids in the school that went somewhere here in Texas during Thanksgiving and got into some snow. I don't know where I just heard them talking about snow.
I'll hold them down so we can come and beat them.
But I don't know what part of Texas had snow during Thanksgiving, but they went somewhere and not too far away. Where was it? Hereford. Where's Hereford at? I mean, I know what a Hereford cow is, but... Oh, all right. So it was a ways away. But yeah, they went out to Hereford and played in some snow during Thanksgiving, so... But again, I don't know that we're going to get any snow here. But it's been cool at night and not too bad during the day. But again, good to see you tonight. Father, thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for another day that we can come to church, meet with our brothers and sisters in Christ. Lord, sing some songs. And then, Lord, have the Word of God preached to us. And I pray, Lord, that you just bless each part of that tonight. Bless our ones that are homesick. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
All right. And we're going to sing Work for the Night is Coming.
Work for the night is coming, work through the morning hours, work while the dew is sparkling, work mid springing flowers, work when the day grows brighter, work in the glowing sun. Work for the night is coming, man's work is done. Work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon. Fill brightest hours with labor, rest comes sure and soon. Give every flying minute something to keep in store. Work for the night is coming when man works no more. Work for the night is coming under the sunset skies. While their bright tints are glowing, work for daylight flies. Work till the last beam fadeth to shine no more. Work while the night is darkening, when man's work is o'er.
Keep Brother Yala in prayer. And Mr. Yala, he went to a doc's appointment yesterday. I talked to them last yesterday evening. I haven't talked to him today, but he was going to another appointment today. And again, because the doctors, they gave him some fluids and stuff, sent him home Sunday, and then they told him to go to his doctor. So he went Tuesday to one and today to the other. Don't know what he found out today, but just pray that they will figure out something. Don't know why he passed out Sunday. But again, for those of you that are like me, anytime one of our older folks go down, I worry. So, and again, when I heard him talking, that was a blessing because at first I didn't. I mean, he was just laying there so still when I came in from being upstairs, and he wasn't moving, and I didn't know at that time that he was talking. But I asked someone if he's talking, and he answered himself. So I felt a lot better once he was at least alert. But do pray for them. Pray for Preacher and Cindy. If you'd pray for my wife as well, she'd been having a lot of stomach issues, been throwing up the last day or two. So. Hard to keep food down, and it's even hard to take her medicine. Last night she took all of her medicines before she goes to bed and then threw that up, so she's having troubles with her stomach again. And then we have some other folks that have some health issues as well, so pray for them. We already had, Kitty had the thing on, I guess it was it last night? Tuesday night. They did a bunch of paintings, so some of you enjoyed that. I dropped by. Sean and I went hunting, and I came by, and I thought, oh, that's why they're all here, because my memory's not always that good. Went in and just checked out. We have some folks that can really paint. We have others that can't, but I mean, that's guys like me. That's why I didn't try. I can't even draw a circle. And then Samuel said, Brother Block, I can't either, but I used a cup. And I thought, hey, I can draw a circle using a cup. So I thought, I could have done it if I drew. But I mean, if you see me draw one freehand, you'd ask me what it is. But again, we had some kids, they all had a good time, so we appreciate those involved with that. But again, this Saturday, piano recital at 2 p.m., that is... here in the church for all the folks that that practice piano. They'll be putting on a show for us, and they've worked hard, so we want to be able to be there to let them show off a little bit. And then after that is a bake sale for the seniors of 2021, so they'll be having some cakes and cookies and pies and stuff to sell afterwards that you can buy. So that will be in the fellowship hall after the recital. There's a new security schedule out on the wall, so guys, if you can help us by signing up. Again, I urge you to at least take one night each, or one day if you guys can, because again, if you don't, we have men that will take all the other days, and while I appreciate them doing that, I don't think it's good for them spiritually to have to miss several services a month. Also, you say, well, Bill Block, I don't want to miss a service. Neither do they, by the way. They just do it because if no one signed up, we have to have someone guarding the parking lot, so it's not like they just, they'd like to be in the services as well, so... Please sign up at least once on the security schedule. I'm going to say I don't usually say anything about the staff offering, but I'm going to say something because when I ask, usually the school has a candy sale, and we raise some money for the Christmas bonuses for the staff. We usually chip in $1,000 or more because we sell some candy and we sell some for the school. Usually at this time of year, we would sell some for the school, some for the staff, and then we sell some. We would have already sold some for Brother Coro's meeting, but we're not having a candy sale this year, so again, when I ask, I didn't even know who gets staff the bonuses. I knew I did every year, and I appreciate that. And I can tell you it's a real blessing to folks that if you've ever got a bonus at work, and many of you do, it is always nice to get money that that you wasn't counting on. So, when I ask about how the offerings are going, the answer back was we usually bring in about $100, $80 to $100 on an offering. And then I said, well, is that a good offering? They said, well, sometimes we'll have a missionary or preacher come in, and on a Wednesday night we'll get $300 or $400. So I want you to understand this. I'm not, say, Brother Block, are you pushing for you to get an offering? No, if you've noticed, I've given on all the offerings, and I do that for two reasons. One, I think it's a good example, and two, I'm not the only one that gets a bonus. So I'm giving so that Rory can get a bonus, and that the other male staff members, and then the ladies in the office, I'm giving for them because I want them. I mean, I don't want to be, a church member that doesn't give for the other folks to get bonuses. So I've gave every offering. But again, I encourage you to give so that we can have enough to give the staff. Again, I looked at all the folks that was getting the offering from the bonuses. All of them have been here for at least, served at least 20 years in the capacity that they're in. And that's a long time. I've been here 35 years. I don't know how long you've been on staff, Roy. I told him tonight when he was walking through the parking lot, I said, you got this evening, right? He went, you didn't call me. And I said, I was hoping he was at the point that you can't remember and I can just mess with you. And that way I can say, well, Roy, man, I called you. You're supposed to be preaching. And I can just sit back and enjoy myself while Roy gets up and thinks, was I really supposed to be preaching tonight? But apparently he's still got a good enough memory. I can't do that yet. You can do that with me, and I wouldn't know whether you'd already called me or not. So, but again, if you can help with the staff office, we'd appreciate that. And again, I'm not speaking just on my behalf. I'm speaking on all the folks. And by the way, for those of you that do stuff, I know some of you do stuff for the individuals on your own as well. That is always a blessing. I'm a big believer, and I've said this several times through the years. My kids have often said, Dad, do you realize you could go someplace else and make a lot more money? I said, yes, I did not get into the ministry to make money. And by the way, I didn't. Neither did Brother Nichols, neither did Brother Castillo, or anyone else in the ministry. We were well aware, and again, I think most of you know how smart Brother Nichols is. Now, I'm not quite that smart, but I mean, most of us, we could make more money someplace else. But we're here because we feel like this is where God wants us. And the Bible teaches that, and again, I'm not just saying this from me, I'm talking about the other folks. The Bible teaches that those who do this are worthy of double hire. So, I mean, again, you ought to, don't take the staff lightly. I want you to be a blessing to them. So think about that, because we will only have probably tonight, maybe one more before Brother Nichols gives out the staff offering. So if you're saying, well, I'll give, you know, later this month, he usually gives them to us before Christmas. So again, if you would help with that, we'd appreciate it. Again, do not forget to pray for our country. I have still not given up hope. I will look at my phone every few days, another House seat, and again, pray for the Senate elections that's going to be going on in another month and a half. That's very, very important. So just keep praying for our country, and again, pray for our military. I don't know if they're bringing more troops home. I know they've talked about it, and I'm hoping they do. And I hadn't really thought about that. We have not been in a war, have not started a war, got involved in a war in the last 4 years. That's a real blessing, especially those of you that are in the military. Your lives have been a little bit more stable when you're not having to get deployed. And when we were in Afghanistan, our Army and Marine Corps, I don't know about the Air Force, but they were getting deployed for 6 or 9 months, and then they'd be back for a month or two, and then get deployed for 6 or 9 months again. They were gone most of the year, every year. And again, a lot of the men and women have not had to do that lately, and that's a blessing. And again, don't forget to pray for our military. You ought to pray for them every day when you're thinking, and you ought to thank them every time you see them. And again, don't forget to pray for, as I mentioned, the folks that are sick. I talked to Miss Bell last night. She was here. Some of the other ladies were helping her. Dina was here, and Christine and others. But if you notice the Christmas decorations, which brought me to this. They said, Brother Locke, we need you to help. Last year, Mrs. Bell did that on her own. Now, we did not know she was doing it on her own. And the way she did it on her own, she crawled up on the baptistry ledge and was hanging that up there. She didn't tell us we was there. Mrs. Reese and I kept hearing something that sounded like a cat meowing. We didn't know what it was. And I opened up the door, and Mrs. Bell standing there, and she had been hollering for help, but because she'd got up there and reached up and did it, and then she didn't think she could step back down, and she hung on for like 30 or 40 minutes, and I felt so bad for her. Then I chewed her out, because I've told you a dozen times not to get up there like that, but I thought about that when I was up there last night, because I was hanging on too. It's not fun when you get old, you worry about falling, and I didn't want to fall in the baptistry or fall over the pews. If you see the ladies, thank them for decorating. They do a great job. Almost every season they change it into something, so we appreciate the ladies that did that.
All right, let's all stand. Wonderful Story of Love. Wonderful Story of Love. Tell it to me again, wonderful story of love. Wake the immortal strain. Angels with rapture announce it. Shepherds with wonder receive it. Sinner, oh, won't you believe it? Wonderful story of love. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. Wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Though you are far away, wonderful story of love. Still he doth call today, calling from Calvary's mountain, down from the crystal bright fountain, even from the dawn of creation. Wonderful story of love, wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful story of love, wonderful story of love. Jesus provides a rest, wonderful story of love.
For all the pure and blessed rest in those mansions above us, with those who've gone on before us, singing the rapturous chorus, wonderful story of love. Wonderful, 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 wonderful story of love.
Lord Jesus, every day, thank you for all many blessings. Please bless this offering. Help to meet the needs of our church. In your precious name, amen.
All right, we're going to sing Silent Night.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon Virgin Mother and Child, Holy Infant so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at the sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, wondrous star, lend thy light with the angels. Let us sing alleluia to our King. Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born.
Well, get to hear Silent Night twice tonight.
Amen.
Well, that
That's not right.
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child, holy infant so tender and mild. Sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace. Silent night, holy night, shepherds quake at thy side, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing alleluia, Christ the Savior is born. Christ the Savior is born. Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace, Jesus Lord, at thy birth, Jesus Lord, at thy birth.
Thank you, Adam. We hadn't heard that version. We liked that one, too. Psalms in your Bible, Psalm chapter 41. Psalm chapter 41. I will have to try to stay on track tonight. For some reason, the last few services, I've not got through all my stuff, so I'm going to try to, and I got more verses than usual. I've got 2.5 pages of verses, so 45 verses, so just reading them, and the other stuff will be keep us moving. But again, I want to try to cover something tonight. This is one of my ways that, I mean, I'm a big believer that Christians should do this. David was too. By the way, God is too, because God's the one inspired David to write this and say this. But notice Psalm chapter 41. We'll read the first three verses. Psalm 41, the first three verses. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. Notice he goes on and says, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. He shall be blessed upon the earth. Thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Thou wilt make all of his bed in his sickness. All of those things are benefits of caring for the poor. Again, he said in verse 1, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the one who's taking care of the poor. Then he gives you the next three verses, 2.5 verses. He gives you some things that will happen to you if you care for the poor. I don't listen to Dave Ramsey as much as I listen to Rush and the others on AM 1200. I think he's on 550. I listen to him some. But Dave Ramsey, the fellow who tells you to get debt-free where you don't have a bunch of bills, if you listen to him, one of the things he'll tell you is when you get debt-free, it gives you money that you can do what with? Nope, he doesn't tell you. He doesn't say to save it. Use it to bless others. He is a Christian himself, and he says that when you have it, when you've paid off your bills, you find you have money. Again, you have money to do stuff with your family, but he said you have money to be a blessing to others, to do stuff for others. And by the way, God has a special place in his heart for all of us who do that. He mentions it here. We're going to look at the things that happen to us if we consider the poor. Father, thank you for tonight. Pray, Lord, you'd help us to look at these thoughts, get something from them. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, notice the very first thing he says, blessed is he that considereth the poor. Notice what the Lord will do. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. Now, if you wonder whether you will have trouble in your life, you'd have to listen to Job. You know what Job said about that? Job said in Job 14:1, man that is born of a woman is what? Few days and full of trouble. So the truth is, if you wonder whether you're going to have troubles in your life, the normal person has troubles in their life. You know what he just said here? He said, notice what he said again, blessed is he that considereth the poor, the Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So what you have is you had a get out jail free card before you get in jail. Well, that's nice. I mean, again, most of us don't have that, but what he says is you are going to, Job said, we're born of woman, and you know what? We are full of trouble. Now, I think sometimes he means we're troublesome ourselves, but I think he also means that we're going to go through some troubles, and by the way, we will. Sometimes it might be financial, sometimes it might be health, sometimes it might be others, but the truth is, what he said is, in verse 1, is if you consider the poor, I will deliver you in your time of trouble. Now, the fact that Job said our life is full of trouble, Job himself said also in Job chapter 30, verse 25, Job 30, 25 says, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Was not my soul grieved for the poor? Now, Job was rich. Maybe he was rich because of the fact that he treated the poor correctly. Because he said, he said, did not I weep for him that was in trouble? Now, again, most of us don't weep. That's why the Bible tells us if we go forth bearing precious seed, and what we're supposed to be doing, weeping, bearing precious seed. When you and I really care for the lost, and they can tell we really care, more of them get saved than if they just know we're doing our job. Okay? By the way, some of you have doctors that really care about you. Some of you have doctors just doing their job. You know which doctor you really like? You like the one that really cares about you. The one that seems to, I mean, really seems to care about you and take an interest in you. Again, a good soul winner is one who cares. I mean, one who cries and spends some. So again, Job said, man, I grieve for those. David himself said in Psalms chapter 82, another place, Psalm 82, verse 3, defend the poor and fatherless. Do justice to the afflicted and needy. Psalm 82, 4 says, deliver the poor and needy. Rid them out of the hand of the wicked. So he said, go out of your way sometimes. Go out and be a Robin. Go out and, I mean, and when someone's mistreating the poor, you step up for them. You take care of them. David often mentioned God's deliverance when he was in trouble. Now, we know that David took care of the poor because he mentioned here that he did. He told us, he challenged us, go help them. When they're in trouble, go help them. Notice what David said. He said in Psalm chapter 27, 5, for in time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. Psalm 37, 39, but the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble. Psalm 46, 1, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Now, David said, you know what? God's been there for me when I've been in trouble. Now, did David face some troubles? And the answer was, yes, he did. Now, a few of them were of his own doing. The stuff with Bathsheba, that was his own doing. But the stuff with Saul and the rest of that, he didn't choose to be king. He didn't ask to be anointed king. He didn't ask to be the one that was going to be the one that was going to take Saul's place when Saul didn't even want to step down. I mean, he was just trying to do what God wanted him to do. So he faced some troubles, but what he says is, God's always been there for me when I've been in trouble. And he promises that in Psalm 41, verse 1. What he said again is, blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. So first we have deliverance in time of trouble if we care for the poor, if we are thinking of them. Notice the second thing in verse 2. He says in verse 2, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Wow. The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Notice Psalm chapter 121 in your Bibles. Psalm 121, verse 7 and 8 says, the Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Now, what he promised in verse 2 was, now the children have a promise already. Do they not have a promise about long life? They have that promise in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Not if they obey their parents, but if what? If they honor their parents. If they honor their parents, what will happen? They're going to have a long life. Now, we sometimes say, well, Brother Block, I didn't even get saved till I was old. I mean, I wasn't the best kid because I wasn't even saved. I didn't know any better. I mean, so am I going to die young? Well, if you notice what that verse said, what did that verse say again? The Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. You want to add some years to your life? Care for the poor. He promised the kids, you honor your parents, you're going to live longer. Now, you say, Brother Block, that don't even make any sense. Sure it does. You know why I never died in a car accident from drinking? Because I never drank.
Now, I knew some kids in our school. Truth is, being in a small town like I grew up in, and one bad weekend, one of the fellows had about three or four of the varsity players in his car. One of them got drunk, and the driver was driving drunk, and they got in a terrible accident, wiped out half our basketball team. Now, that wouldn't be true of John Jay if four or five players got hurt, but in a little town like mine, I mean, they wiped out half the varsity team in one night from drinking and driving. I may die of cancer, but I won't die of cancer that's caused by cigarettes. You know why? Because my dad made it where I couldn't smoke when I was a kid. Now, again, understand, I may die of cancer. You can get lung cancer. There's all kinds of cancer you can get, okay? And all of them now. And by the way, some of them are stuff that, I mean, you and I don't, there's not a whole lot we can do about it. But the truth is, I won't die of that. I won't die of a drug overdose because I've never done drugs. And again, as I've often said, when I was a kid, I didn't do it because I was afraid of my daddy. When I got older, I was smart enough not to do it. By the way, most bad habits, which is why we have to teach our young people, most bad habits start when they're young, okay? Most bad habits start when we're young, which is why, again, we have to be very, very wise in leading and counseling and keeping the young people, keep them in church, keep them in the church activities and things like that. It makes a big difference. But David said, you know what? You adults, you want to have a long life? Care for the poor. God will keep you alive. Now, disobedience, by the way, brought death. Matthew chapter 15, verse 4. For God commanded, saying, honor thy father and mother. He that curseth father and mother, let him die the death. So again, their life could be cut short if they disobeyed their parents. Truth is, they could get stoned. And I don't mean stoned in the drug addiction stone, but they'd get stoned with rocks. How many of you have ever been hit by a rock? Rocks hurt. My brothers and I sometimes used to throw rocks at each other. I don't know why we were so stupid. Kids today just have Nerf guns. I mean, by the way, some of those Nerf guns the other day, we hadn't used them for a long time. So when the grandkids was out, they used our Nerf guns, and they lost all the Nerf bullets. So I've got two Nerf guns now that have no Nerf bullets. And I said, what am I going to do? My wife said, give them away. I said, I like those. She said, they hurt when you shot me with them. Now, I didn't know they hurt, but she said they hurt when I shot her with them. Now, we both had one, so, I mean, but I'm a better shot than she is, and she also turns and runs more than I do, so it was easier to get my licks in with her. But we got them so that we could play with Thane, but when Thane wasn't around, a time or two, we used them. So she said, give them away. They hurt when you get shot. So nowadays, they've replaced rocks with Nerf guns. Or they have, what's those ones that your brother have? Airsoft? They have airsoft stuff, and some of them hurt too. I mean, but they have sniper rifles. If you've ever been hit by a rock, rocks are not fun. To be stoned like they got stoned, I mean, they picked up rocks. I mean, they threw them with intent to hurt. I mean, they threw them hard. They was trying to break bones and kill people. And that was kids. You say, I can't believe, you talk about child abuse. Whew! I mean, CPS would be right over there. Now, it wouldn't have done them any good. They'd have thrown them down in the pit and stoned them as well. I mean, for standing up for those rebellious kids. They didn't put up with rebels back then. And they didn't put up with that stuff. I mean, if a child didn't listen to his mom and dad, they faced the wrath of the village. Again, he said, you know what? You want me to preserve you? You want me to keep you alive? Care for the poor. He went on. Notice also verse 2. He said, the Lord will preserve him and keep him alive. Notice what he says next. And he shall be blessed upon the earth. You know what we all want to live? Sometimes people say, have a blessed day. You know how to have a blessed day? Care for the poor. Because here's what he said. You take care of the poor, you'll have my blessings. There's going to be some blessings upon the earth. Let's talk about that for a moment. Notice Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 9. He that hath a bountiful eye shall be blessed, for he giveth of his bread to the poor. Again, simply cares about, I mean, gives to other people and cares about other people. Notice in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 6. Blessings are upon the head of the just, the violence covereth the mouth of the wicked. Proverbs 28:20, a faithful man shall be abound with blessings, but he that maketh haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Again, we want to be blessed, and he gives us reason to be blessed. He tells us that we can be blessed. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he says, blessed be the God of and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We all want to be blessed. And by the way, we can assure that we are blessed if we will care for the poor, because that was what he promised in verse 2. He said, I'll preserve you, I'll keep you alive, and you'll be blessed upon the earth. By the way, anytime I can get blessed, I mean, if I know I'm going to get a blessing. Now, I don't always know when I'm going to get a blessing. You don't either. But if we care for the poor, we are guaranteed blessings. That's nice to be guaranteed something. And see, you and I might forget. God doesn't forget. You and I might not notice. God always notices. If you're wondering, now, I remember years ago we had someone Brother Price and them honor someone at the Valentine's banquet. Then the next year they honor somebody else. The next year, and I remember this person saying, you know what? I've been faithful to Liberty all these years, and I've never got honored. Well, the truth is, if they only honor one person each Valentine's banquet, it would take a long time to honor the whole church. It really would. And they really weren't, they typically was honoring the staff or someone like that. They weren't honoring church. But now again, if you think for a second that we always notice you, we might not. You could do something that we don't even know about. We didn't see. We didn't catch you. And I don't mean that in the wrong way. But I can tell you, he never misses. That's why he tells us in Proverbs chapter 15. What you say? The eyes of the Lord are in every place. What's he doing? Beholding the evil and the good. Now, we all think, a lot of people out there think that God's just always looking and watching for people doing wrong so he can pounce on them, punish them for doing wrong. My son mentioned that. He said, I'm not real wild about serving a God that you have to serve because of fear. And I told him, that's silly. I said, you know what? You apparently don't know God like I know God. God's also a God of love, of great. Listen to me. As a father of children, I love my kids so much. And I couldn't do what God did. I couldn't even come close to doing what God did. To give, again, I have four kids. I couldn't give one of four. He gave one of one. And again, to give that son, again, being God, he knew exactly. I told the kids this morning in devotions, Jesus knew exactly. When the Bible says he took upon him the form of a servant and made the likeness of men, I mean, he knew exactly what was going to happen to him. He knew he was going to get spit on. He knew he was going to get the crown thorns on his head. He knew he was going to get beat with a cat of nine tails. He knew all that. He knew he was going to be despised and rejected of men. He knew that. And as the Bible says, no one took his life from him. I told the kids, he laid that hand out there and they put that nail in there. He laid that hand out there and they put that. They didn't have to write. Now, by the way, I'd have been kicking and screaming. I'd have been fighting. I mean, I'd have been trying to hit folks and kick folks and bite folks. I mean, there'd been some injured guards that they had to nail me to a cross. But Jesus gave his life. Now again, he did all that. The Bible says he could have called legions of angels. We would have. He did not. You know why? Because he loves a lot more than you and I. We can't comprehend his love. Again, he says, I'll bless you if you care for the poor. Notice he goes on in verse 2. He says, not only will he preserve and keep us alive, not only will he bless us upon the earth, but notice what he says next, and thou wilt not deliver him unto the will of his enemies. I mean, we're going to be delivered from our enemies. It is always nice to know that you can call 911. It is. I'm amazed at these cities that are trying to defund the police. Now, again, I'm a big believer that you should have a gun of your own in your house, and you should know how to use it, and you should not be afraid of it. And by the way, you don't want to be a danger to yourself, so learn how to use it. And it's not hard to learn how to use a gun. And the truth is, if you learn how to use it, they're even fun to shoot. I mean, you can have family time and go out. Now, I'm one that has a hard time shooting a gun, because when I'm shooting a gun, I'm thinking, a dollar, a dollar, a dollar. I'm a tightwad, so I mean, when I think of every bullet I shot cost me a dollar, I think of what I could have got me a 44-ounce lemonade slushie for $1.39. So I mean, I could have got a lot of slushies for that. So I have a hard time enjoying shooting. Now I don't have a problem shooting a 22 because it's like a dime, a dime, a dime. So I'm okay with the 22 because dimes, it takes a lot of dimes to add up to be any money. But when you're shooting those 30-06 or some of those other ones, and it's a dollar or a dollar and a half or $2 every time you shoot, I don't have a good time. I'll watch you. I'll cheer for you, as long as you're not shooting my shells. But the truth is, he says, you know what? I'm going to deliver you from your enemies. Now, I'm a big believer. You should have a gun at your house. But it's also nice to know that while you're in there, crouching in the corner, hoping they don't come in your room, hoping they don't come in there, and you have to use that gun. Because, by the way, if you ever have to use a gun, it's not going to be something you're going to get all excited about and wild about. Say, how do you know that? Because I've talked to several policemen that's had to use a gun. None of them brag about it. I've talked to several military men that had to use guns in battle. By the way, none of them brag about it. So it's not going to be something you're going to be real excited about. Now, there's some folks, honestly, I think I'd have a lot less trouble shooting than others. I would. I mean, honestly. There's some that I'd have less trouble shooting than others, but I don't have to shoot anybody. So it's nice to know while you're in there able to defend yourself if they get to you, that you know someone's coming. That's why it's nice to have 911. Thank goodness we haven't defunded our police in this area. I laugh sometimes. Someone told me I haven't driven up to Austin, but they said there was a big sign up at Austin that says your driver beware coming into Austin because they've defunded the police, and you may call the police and may not have anyone come and answer. I like to know that when I'm in trouble, I can call someone. Here's what he said. You want to be delivered from your enemies? You care for the poor. And when you need help, Just give me a call. Notice what he says in Psalm chapter 27, verse 12. He'll deliver us from the false witnesses. Notice Psalm chapter 27, verse 12. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. He said, I'll take care, I'll deliver you from them. From persecution, notice Psalm chapter 31, verse 15. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hands of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Again, David saying, God, I need you. So he called on God. Notice Psalm chapter 59, verse 1. Deliver me from mine enemies, O my God. Defend me from them that rise up against me. Psalm 69, 18. Draw nigh unto my soul and redeem it. Deliver me because of mine enemies. So what he said is, David said, you know what, God, I need your help. I've got a bunch of enemies. Those folks rising up against me. They're battling against me. They're trying to overthrow me. And I need your help. So he called 911. Now, God's number is not 911. It's, as we often said, it's simply a prayer away. And by the way, you don't have to be on your knees. You don't have to be in your prayer closet. You can pray when you're driving. You can pray while you're eating. You can pray while you're working. You can pray anytime. But again, the fact that God is at our beck and call. Now, you say, Brother Block, is he at everybody's beck and call? No, the Bible, if you read enough of the Psalms, enough of Proverbs, you'll read places where it says, they will call on me, and I will not hearken unto them. Yeah, yeah. They will seek me early, but guess what? They can't find me. So again, he says, you care for the poor, I'll be at your beck and call. I'll be there to deliver you from your enemies. Jephthah, notice Judges chapter 12, verse 2. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of his hands. He said, you know what? He was talking to the people. He had asked some people to help him. And guess what? They let him down. And people might let you down, but I guarantee you, there was someone you can call on that will never let you down. They will never fail you. God will never fail you. The Holy Spirit will never fail you. Jesus will never fail you. The fifth thing, notice verse 3. We would finish with verse 2. Notice verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing. Strengthen upon the bed of languishing. First, I'll quote the verse that I quoted the other day. 1 Peter 5, 7 says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. A good verse to memorize. A good verse to put in practice. Realizing that there is someone you can give your cares to. By the way, he wants those cares. He wants to help you carry your load because he loves you. But I want to define languishing. Languishing means failing to make progress or to be successful. You're not doing too good. To be feeble, to be weak, a state of depression, decreasing vitality, to suffer neglect, to exist in an unpleasant, unwanted situation. You're sick, in love, you're stuck somewhere you don't want to be, or you're in prison. To exist in an unpleasant or unwanted situation. Think about that. He said, you know what? I'm going to strengthen you upon your bed of languishing. You're going to go through some tough times. You're depressed. You're getting old. Because if you look at that, some of that's old. I mean, decreasing vitality. We don't have the energy we have. He says, you know what? I'm there for you. When you're moving a little sluggish, so you're not capable of doing some of the stuff, I got you. And again, that is a promise that comes from verse 1 of caring for the poor. He says, I will care for you when you're languishing. You're on your bed languishing. Moses and the children of Israel experienced this. Notice Numbers chapter 20, verse 16. Numbers 20, verse 16. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are at Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of the border. He said, we called on God and he sent his angel. Notice 1 Samuel chapter 7, verse 9. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering, holy unto the Lord, and Samuel cried unto the Lord of Israel, and the Lord heard him. Again, when you and I care for the poor, what he says is when you're struggling, when you're down, when things aren't going good for you, when you're not being very successful. Now, I'm not one. There are some people that think the only luck they have is bad luck. I'm not necessarily a lucky person, but I'm not unlucky. I know people that say, man, if it wasn't for bad luck, I wouldn't have any luck at all. I'm not one of those kind of people. And by the way, I think a lot of people just, if you walk around and look for stuff to be negative about, you can find some. Oh, by the way, if you want to look around for stuff that you can be positive about, you can probably find some of that as well. A positive person doesn't mean, a person who's positive or a person that's singing or whistling, that doesn't mean they don't have troubles. It's meaning they're not doing what you're doing. They're not dwelling on them. They're not letting it just pile on top of them and weigh them down. They're taking them, giving them to God, and walking away. Again, he says, I'll care for you when you're languishing. Now, notice he said, I'll make your bed. Wow. Now, we tell kids to do that, but God says, you know what? When you're having problems, you're languishing. Notice what he said in verse 3. The Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, and thou wilt make all his bed in his sickness. He said, when you... Now, when we were sick as kids, you know who took care of us? Mom. I mean, she came and put a wet rag on our head. I mean, if we got all sweaty, she changed the sheets and the blankets. I mean, if we needed something to eat, she went and fixed it and came, and even if she had to, spooned it in our mouths. Can you imagine? God says, I'll do that for you. While you, when you're languishing and you're sick upon your bed, I'm going to come make your bed for you. Now, again, means he's going to relieve our suffering. He's going to make us comfortable. Now, if you've ever been, that's one of the reasons we like staying in hotels. You know why we like staying in hotels? Because someone just made the bed and did all that, and we don't have to mess with it. And when we leave, we don't have to make our bed. We don't have to clean up. Now, understand, he says, I'll make your bed for you. I will, if you care for me, like, I mean, if you care for the poor like I tell you to, we'll do that. Now, when you think of that, I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 25, and I'm almost done. I want to read a couple verses here, and I want to bring it to a conclusion. Now, those are all promises from verse 1 to us. David gave them to us, promises from God to us if we care for the poor. But in Matthew chapter 25, Jesus also told us, when you care for the poor, you are also caring for who? Me. Notice Matthew chapter 25, verse 35. He was talking to the people here, and here's what he said. For I was hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Let me change pages. Verse 7. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee unhungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? So they said, when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? He said, you did it. And they said, we don't remember. When did we do that, Lord? Now, Brother Taylor came up and said, thank you for visiting me this week. And I really didn't visit him. I would know where that... Now, I'm back to that point where I won't remember if I visited him. But the truth is, I still would remember it. And if he said, no, thank you for visiting me this week. And I went, what? Brother Taylor, are you losing it? Are you about as bad as me now? I mean, you don't remember... I mean, look at this guy. This fellow did not come by and see you this week. And if he said, you know, you didn't, but you know what? You did something for one of my kids. Because, by the way, as a parent, when someone does something for our kids, isn't it like them doing it to us? I can tell you as youth director through the years, there are folks that liked me. There's folks who didn't like me. Guess who liked me? The ones whose kids liked me. If the kids appreciated me and thought I was a great guy, then the mom and dad did because I made their kids happy. On the other hand, the kids thought I stunk and didn't like me. Guess what? Mom and dad didn't either. Because here's the thing. If we mistreat someone's children, we might as well be mistreating them. If we mistreat someone's husband or wife, we might as well be mistreating them. So, but what Jesus said was, you did take care of me. You did give me a drink when I was thirsty one day. You did give me some food when I was hungry one day. Now, wouldn't it be a privilege to give Jesus a drink? Wouldn't we all be knocking each other? I mean, wouldn't we be wrestling to run and give Jesus a drink? If Jesus says, I'm thirsty, be like Brother Taylor. I mean, Kurt would be heading out one door, Roy another door, Brother Taylor. We'd be going to try to get a drink, some of you too. If you had one here, you'd be like, you'd go give him your drink. But the truth is, we would all love to give Jesus a drink if he was thirsty. We'd all like to give Jesus something to eat if he was hungry. What a privilege to feed Jesus. But here's what he told them. When you do it, notice verse 40, and the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, insomuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you've done it unto me. So again, we have those promises in verse 1, 2, and 3. But the principle I want you to get is this. When we care for the poor, it's as if we're doing it to the Lord himself. Because that's what he just said. When you and I do something for people in need, it's just like doing it for him. So when you give out a Thanksgiving turkey to someone for a needy family, you just gave Jesus a turkey. Jesus has had a great Thanksgiving. You provided the turkey for Jesus' Thanksgiving. Wow, what a privilege. I mean, when you do something for a poor person, he said it's just like a needy person. Now, I'm well aware there are people out there that panhandle that probably make more money than you and I. I realize there's some of them out there. My son as a police officer says there's a lot of them out there. I'm well aware of that. And again, I'm the one that handles all the folks, the needy people that come to Liberty Baptist Church. I get some really good stories sometimes. And I'm pretty good at remembering their stories. So when one of them comes and his mama died last week, and he comes again in a month and his mama died again, I'll say, you know what, I feel really bad for you. I mean, your mama died, then, I mean, you was grieving, and then she rose from the dead, and you had her back, and then she died again. I mean, because I remember that mama died. Mama's died twice. By the way, the first time I helped him, that second time I didn't help him. I mean, if you got someone that your mama's dying two, three times, you don't need help from me. You need help from someone, but not me. So I realize there's some professional panhandlers out there, and I realize, but see, here's the thing. You and I don't know who they are. But the fact that you have the right attitude and you care for people, you care for those that you think are needy. By the way, many of them really are. When you care for those that are needy, Jesus said, it's just like, by the way, Jesus knows which ones are the professional panhandlers and which ones are not. But the fact that you have that attitude, he appreciates it regardless, whichever one you do it for. So again, David gave us some promises in Psalm chapter 41, some good promises. Some things that will happen to us if we take care of the poor. And then Jesus said, you know what? Forget all that stuff. You want to be a blessing to me? Take care, do something for some of them. Again, I can tell you, for those who have been good to my kids, it was just like being good to me. For those who are bad to my kids, tough on my kids, just like they did it to me. And again, we have a Heavenly Father that feels the same way. Father, thank you for tonight. I pray, Lord, you'd help each of us to realize we are privileged. We have so much. You've been so good to us.